227. Again, you're listening to the KMOX Health and Fitness Show. I'm your host, Monica Adams. Thanks again to my first guest, Barth Hollihan. Now in studio, as I mentioned, Russell Hyken, a psychotherapist, and we were going to discuss a little bit about ADHD, again, in kids, adults, and I also wanted to touch a little bit on seniors. October was Mental Health Awareness Month, and we oftentimes hear little things here and there about what attention deficit disorder is, what attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is. And we've talked a little bit about that. But I think all too often, Russell, we have a tendency to always focus on children alone.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, it affects adults and some seniors.
Sure. So with regards to this, and we always want to bring awareness to it, I've done shows over the last 16 years where people are very, very quick to say, okay, medicate. And I remember a great book many, many years ago that talked about, I think it was Right Brain Children in the Left Brain World, which I thought was a fascinating book. And it was to make people stop and say, maybe we need to take a little bit more attention in how they're being taught in school, you know, because they are in a different mindset, if you say, or a different brain, that they can't be taught in this, you know, structure. They need a little more creativity.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what's so interesting about school is that no matter where you go to school, you're taught the same way, mm-hmm. and you're assessed the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And students with ADHD often learn and think differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those teachers need to tap into those and provide a certain level of structure, things to sort of jog their memory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is on the tip of their tongue, but they have a problem accessing it.
So how, though, in an educational forum, does that happen? Because let's even take it into high school and take it into college where, you know, gosh, I go back to thinking of my classes and you've got hundreds of students sometimes. If you're at a smaller college, maybe that's where they would need to go. So you have more of a personal attention. But don't they just get lost when you're in a group of 100 students in a room with one professor?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that very much. And what's so interesting, the further you go in education, the less teaching strategies are used. So when you look in the grade school, they're doing kinesthetic stuff, auditory, visual. You get into high school and it kind of morphs into more discussion mm-hmm. with the occasional presentation. But then you get into college and you hit it on the head.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a lecture environment. If you're a student with attention issues, it's going to be really difficult. And I liked your suggestion of, you know, maybe a smaller college is the place to be.
Sure.
You really need a buddy in those large lecture halls to kind of knock you in the arm and say, you know, get back attention. It's probably the best way to stay focused.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in, again, we're talking with Russell Hyken. He is a psychotherapist, Educational Psychotherapy Services. Can I give out a phone number? Okay, if you want more information from Russell after the show, 314-647-4488. You can also go online to ed-psy.com, Educational Evaluations, Residential Placement, Psychotherapy, etc. Is there ever anything that ever comes out to actually say what causes ADD, what causes ADHD, learning disabilities?
I always say blame it on the parents.
You can let them take it.
Well, you know, ADHD is truly genetic. It's real interesting. I will have parents bring their kids or their teenagers in, and we assess them for ADHD and do a very intensive evaluation. And when I'm giving back the report and I'm talking about it, dad will go, that sounds like me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ding, ding. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is you because it is genetic, just like any other illness.
Was it not talked about much back then? Because it's funny. I mean, my brother sometimes will say stuff about, Mom, I swear, and this is where I get into seniors.
Yeah.
Mom, I swear you have ADD, and she'll laugh it off sometimes. And I'm like, yeah, I do see signs of this. And I think in a multitasking world, I think we all have just a touch of it sometimes because we think we can do so much. And we've all heard, although we think it's that we should be proud that we can do that,
mm-hmm.
it's actually not a healthy thing to say that we're a multitasker.
Well, you know, and you're absolutely right. To sort out inattention that's appropriate versus inattention that's clinical can be a really difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then layer on top of that that, you know, individuals with depression, anxiety, bipolar also have inattention issues
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So really trying to figure out, well, which is it? And maybe somebody has ADHD and they're depressed because they can't focus.
Right.
So it just sort of gets more and more complicated as it balloons out.
So as parents are listening this morning, they're thinking about their kids, but they're also, as you said, since it's a genetic link, thinking about themselves, then maybe thinking of the grandparents because it may just be from the grandparents' parents down.
Yeah.
How would you tell them to start to structure and to treat themselves? Because again, I think all too often, as I had mentioned in the very beginning of the show, people have a tendency to always jump to, oh, okay, medicate.
Right.
And sometimes that is needed, but is it always?
Not necessarily always. It depends on the determination of the person to develop those self-coping strategies.
So from the severity aspect of it?
You know, and some people do truly benefit. A lot of people truly benefit from medication. But I think even with the medication, you need some coaching strategies as well. And you need to kind of figure out where your trigger points are. You know, if you're a person that's always, you know, perpetually in disarray in the morning, then you need to figure out how to structure your morning a little better. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're somebody who loses your car keys and your cell phone, well, you know, I call it the ADHD box. When you walk inside the house, throw your keys and your cell phone and all of that right in the same place every day, where it becomes a habit. It's rote memory.
Mm-hmm.
And those will the types of coping strategies that will help you figure all of this out.
From a coping, now, as I said, since it has been talked about so much in children, and mm-hmm. we always seem to focus on children, for adults and for seniors who maybe not had not ever thought of them dealing with that,
mm-hmm.
Is that harder? I mean, because they've gone so long in their life and not even thought about, maybe I have this?
I think you need to look at adults and seniors differently. With seniors, I want to look at what co-occurring conditions are going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as somebody gets older, their memory does start to go. You know, they do suffer from Alzheimer's or from dementia,
mm-hmm.
and all of those things will impact you, as well as maybe what medications they're on, their diet, how well did they sleep. It's really rare that a senior walks into a psychiatrist's office and presents with ADHD for the first time. And I think a big part of that is that they've just developed those strategies to survive in the world over a lifetime.
Hmm.
So if they're functional, they've never really thought about it, but as they get older. And the other complicating fact with seniors is that ADHD is treated with stimulant meds. And it's really complicated to give stimulants to, you know, older individuals that may have heart issues.
Sure. If you're just tuning in, again, we're talking with Russell Hyken. I want to give the information. If you have any questions outside of the show, you can call 314-647-4488. And again, the website I gave is ed-psy.com, ed-psy.com. Again, We've touched a little bit on ADHD. What are some of the other, maybe in the mainstream media, that you would think as a psychotherapist are not talked about enough when it comes to learning disabilities?
Well, I think, you know, learning disabilities in general, and for people to really understand what a learning disability is, and let's just take the ADHD that we've been focusing on. In kids, that will often surface some learning issues. If you have attention, you may miss crucial instruction that causes you to have some type of reading disability.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to ferret out, well, is it a reading disability or ADHD? Because, you know, if you're having problems paying attention, well, then your comprehension's going to be a little off because you're not focused in.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes it'll come up as a math disability because you have to remember stuff in math on the spot, and it's really hard for those kids.
Sure.
So I think you kind of got to look at just the big picture. And so that would sort of be my message there is that, you know, is it ADHD? Is it a learning disability? Is it all of the above?
Mm-hmm.
How do they relate? How do they cohabitate?
And again, we wanted to bring awareness to all of this. I know we just wrapped up October, but that was Mental Health Awareness Month. And we also always talk a little bit about, you know, depression, bipolar. I actually had a book, Bipolar Breakthrough, last week that was very popular from all the emails that I got from our listeners. But also, and I just thought about this, isn't this the time of year where we talk about seasonal affective disorder?
Yes. Yeah, especially, I think we had 20-something days of rain this October. So.
Right. So are you seeing more and more people? Because, I mean, again, just in general, we've all been like, enough already. And I'm not even putting in the category of people who would be considered clinically depressed or considered to have some type of a mental health disorder. But just in general, it just seems like a lot of gloom and darkness.
Yeah, and look at how happy everybody is today.
Yeah, we're thrilled.
Yeah, even at the Rams game. So.
Very good point.
You know, sunlight is a natural antidepressant.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we take sunlight out of the mix, people are not going to feel as well. It's going to be a little harder to get out of bed. Is it clinically depressed? No, because that has to last for a long time. You know, if you have a bad day or two because the weather's bad or you're just kind of miserable because you haven't been able to get outside in a while, very appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But when that starts to go into 2, 3, 4 weeks, a month, then we need to start worrying about clinical depression.
And is that still treated with, like, light therapy?
Light therapy is certainly one methodology that works for some people.
Mm-hmm.
You could certainly medicate again or do some sort of behavioral type of things. Really, once again, it's got to come from inside. You have to say, you know what, I am going to get out of bed. I am going to get some exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big piece of it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Exercise, nutrition,
sunlight,
social, you know,
social, yeah.
Getting around happy people.
Force yourself to go out. Make a commitment to a friend. Put it on the refrigerator. I'm going out tonight.
Yeah,
you know, definitely.
Very good. Well, again, as we said, we're enjoying today, and we want all of you to do so. Outside of the show, again, Russell Hyken, he can help out. He's a psychotherapist, and we're just kind of touching a little bit on some mental health disorders. ADD, ADHD is why we wanted to bring him in today. Again, the phone number I gave, 314-647-4488, and that website, again, is ed-psy.com. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. Very important topics.